C1AP. Number 4A.
We have taken this morning the chapter 1 of Revelation, and out of that whole chapter, Mrs. Eddy takes only one verse, namely the scriptural note that she has put at the beginning of the chapter Apocalypse is from Revelation 1:3. And it is interesting to see at which point in Revelation this verse appears. Namely, when you take the layout that John Dolly has given us, then you see that within the first three verses we have seen, the Bible shows us the fourfold calculus, namely the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. And science is that verse 3, where it says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of his prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Now this is the scriptural note 1 of the Apocalypse. So if you read that first scriptural note isolated, then you feel, well, it's a nice verse, but it's isolated. But if we see what place value it has within the structure of Revelation, then naturally we can pinpoint the importance of that verse. And we see that is that verse which pinpoints the fourth side of the holy city, the side of the science. So Mrs. Eddy does what? She takes the whole of Revelation, but she does not interpret the whole of Revelation, but takes out of that whole revelation that part which depicts her mission within the revelation. Got it? Yes? So as she is coming in our age and not in the age of John the Revelator, she only feels that her mission is depicted by bringing out the fourth side of the holy city. And you can see that very easily. Blessed is he that readeth. Well, science has to do with reading, with seeking, with being instructed. That's science, that's the word. And they that hear the word of his prophecy, that hear that science. Hearing is the receptive sense, the Christ sense, where you take it in and where you receive it. So that only the Christ consciousness can pick it up. And keep those things that were written therein. Again, written therein. You always have a tone of science brought out. And keep that. Well, keeping the things is using it, demonstrating it. That's Christianity sense. For the time is at hand. It's being. It's not something that happens within time and space. And that's always the foresight here, signs as signs. So that little verse is depicting within the structure of the book of Revelation the following: signs as the word, signs as the Christ, signs as Christianity, signs as science. Is that clear? If it's not clear, all right, it will come clear one time. But you can see that she is interested in the writing of the prophecy, in hearing the prophecy, in keeping the prophecy. Well, prophecy naturally meant the science that is prophesied here. So, in this blue sheet, the last one, which really should be page 15, I've forgotten to put 15 on the top of it. You can see in the first column, the introduction is a short summary of that. I am not going to take that summary, but you see that within that first column, Mrs. Eddy only uses that which is in those black, that black box. Can you see that? That black box. So all those black boxes within those columns will always pinpoint that which Mrs. Eddy writes in the chapter, The Apocalypse. Yeah? So that, in a way, that blue sheet, page 15, is a summary of the book of Revelation, and at the same time a summary in those black boxes of the Apocalypse. Yeah. So we can see here that the aspect that Mrs. Eddy takes towards Revelation is the aspect of science, whereas the Revelator, as we have seen, takes the aspect of the Word and the Christ. But Mrs. Eddy's mission was to show the science side, and therefore the whole picture, the 4x4. That fourth side, the science, is also depicted in the second scriptural note, which is from Psalms, interestingly enough, and we'll see that at the end of the Apocalypse, she takes in Psalms at various times, and we will afterwards see the reason for it. But what those Psalms depict are actually another wording, a shorter version of what is the climax of the book of Revelation, namely the city foursquare. So that the second scriptural note reads, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God." You come to the city of our God, the New Jerusalem, in the mountain of his holiness. Now, mountain was always used as a symbol when one wanted to symbolize a big sense of the calculus of spirit, because a stone was always used either as an idea or as a calculus, or stones were usually then the calculus with these ideas, and anyone wanted to bring it out that it was a terrific and infinite calculus, as Mrs. Eddy calls it, the divine infinite calculus, then the Bible would take a big amount of stones and rocks, a whole mountain. So, great is the Lord and praised in the city of our God. So we get again the four-sided city, which is our true calculus, in the mountain of his holiness. It's a divine, infinite calculus. And that is the climax of Revelation and of the textbook, both. It ends that way. So those two verses at the beginning of the chapter, the Apocalypse, really embrace the whole range of Revelation. Namely, starting out with verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, showing that what is needed is the science of Christian science, that we read it, that we understand it, that we study it. What should be read, what should be studied, what should be embraced in our consciousness? The second scriptural note says, well, that which is the acme and the highest point, the climax of the Apocalypse, namely, the fourfold calculus of divinity, the city of our God. You know that, or perhaps you have heard, or I think I even wrote it somewhere, that in one of the very oldest fragments that have been found from the New Testament, not the New Testament, but from the sayings of Jesus, a very little fragment, is only a few verses on it, but the oldest testament, the oldest fragments. In those fragments is a saying of Jesus, which I don't have it right in mind verbally, but where he says at the end, "And ye are the city. Ye are the calculus. Ye are the divine infinite calculus." Can you see how Revelation tries to lead us out of a sense that we are a human, that we are a mortal, that it's a mortal concept, like she defines Jesus as the highest visible material concept or corporeal concept of the idea, tries to bring it right out of that sense and wants to present to us that our consciousness should actually only be concerned with the calculus of ideas, that principle as an infinite idea, and that therefore being is to become conscious of how that divine principle operates as a divine infinite calculus of ideas, freeing us completely from the sense that we have to do with that concept of God and man, that that is now replaced by the concept that there is an infinite principle and an infinite idea. And that is what the 16th chapter is showing us. And we'll see it later on. Yes, so we have in those scriptural notes, we have, so to say, shown the whole range within which Apocalypse is presented, and so we go on with Revelation. We turn now to our blue study material again. After that first chapter, which was an introduction, and more or less said, well, the foundation of a Christ translation is that there is a Word of God, the first side of the Holy City. He recapitulated quickly what the Word of God is, showing the 7 days of creation, the 7 numerals of infinity, the 7 synonymous terms in the word order. And then he starts out with chapter 2 and 3 and gives the 7 messages to the 7 churches. He gives those messages to the 7 churches in the Christ order. You know the Christ order from the textbook on page 115 is divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. So we can see, again, he says, my authority is what? The Word and the Christ. He has recapitulated the Word in the first chapter. Now he gives a short summary of the Christ order in the 7 messages to the churches. When he has shown the 7 messages to the churches, he begins to show something more, the 7 visions which he had. And those 7 visions go right to the end of the book of Revelation. So that and those 7 visions, again, are written in the Christ order. So actually, when we look at it from the standpoint of the Revelator, he gives a picture, really a short picture of the word order, and then the whole rest from chapter 2 to the end is always showing the Christ order or the working of the Christ, Christ which reveals to us. And alone this again shows that his standpoint was the word and the Christ. His standpoint was not primary, I must say primary, because he introduces the other standpoint, was not primary that of Christianity or of science. That will be the office of Mrs. Eddy's mission. She will show it from the point of view of Christianity and science. The Christ Order. What is the purpose of the Christ Order? To summarize it quickly, we know that the Christ is the divine message from God to man. And the Revelator had such a message from God to man. So whenever the Word of God is established in consciousness, whenever we are in line with the 7 days and the seven synonymous terms, and our consciousness is filled in that category of the Word, then being shows that this consciousness has a Christ, that this consciousness acts as bringing God down to man, so to say, as the divine message from God to man. We receive a message, we receive an insight, we receive a revelation. We get an answer. So can you see the Christ builds on the Word? And the Christ, therefore, is not something that we can bring down from God to us, that we can call down from God to us. We only can go up through the Word order to a better understanding of the seven spirits, the seven candlesticks, and in the measure as that Word order is established within us, in that measure that Word begins to translate itself to us through the Christ order. You could ask, well, why then should we know the Christ order if that goes on automatically? And the answer is, which he gives here and throughout Revelation, is very simple. He says, yes, that's a good question. And the answer is that Christ translation goes on anyway. Anyway. But if you go along with it, you can go along with that Christ translation without suffering. If you don't know it, and if you don't go along with it, if you resist it, then that Christ translation goes on anyway, but it goes on in your life, not in the life of being, in your life as suffering. And so afterwards we'll see how he brings that out, that these are the two ways of how the Christ will come and will touch everyone, even those that oppose him. By explaining the Christ in this way, one has already defined, so to say, those two classifications or two aspects, perhaps I would better say, those two aspects of the Christ translation. Namely, that aspect which says God translates itself to the point of individual idea. It's a harmonious translation going on. And that's the first translation on page 115. Parallel to it runs another translation. Namely, parallel to it runs that which says, and that translation from God to the point of idea goes on in spite of your resistance. But then you will go through crisis, through chemicalization, through suffering, through discord. But still, it's the Christ working. And this is, these two strains or aspects of the Christ translation is what the Revelator wants to bring out here in the seven messages to the churches. In each of the messages, with the exception of the sixth message to Philadelphia, he always shows both sides of the translation. He always shows what is going on in harmony as a divine idea, and second, but I have something against you. You have to overcome something, or else you experience that Christ as suffering. So, in a way, these messages to the churches are of a general mission. They are not churches that were in Asia. I mean, they may have been there, but he chose the quality of thought that was there in order to symbolize really those seven main aspects of the Christ translation. Okay. Now, we take those seven messages, and I take them rather in a summary way, not in a detailed way. These seven messages is really a message that the student can easily read and study and interpret by himself without getting in too much difficulty and trouble. It's actually that part out of the whole book of Revelation which is, I think, for the student of today, the easiest part, because it doesn't take in strange symbols as afterwards, but talks about well-known human qualities and divine qualities, so it shouldn't give much trouble. So I'm just running through them because, as we said, John Dolley has interpreted that, so I don't need to do it again. All what I want to do is to show the generalities of it, the purpose of it. And the purpose of this Christ here is to bring out those two points. How the divine principle always translates itself to the point of idea. It's always the divine message from God to man. And on that way of translation, it will uncover everything that is not of the nature of idea and will show that that which is not in the nature of idea must be overcome, and that if we don't overcome it, we will go through a period of suffering and tribulation and whatever the term may be. Very, very well-known situation that each one of us experiences, because each one of us is under the constant impact of that Christ. If we think about the Christ or if we don't think about the Christ, that doesn't matter. The Christ is operating out of itself and is therefore working on us day and night. If we go along with it, we can experience the newness of that revelation in a harmonious way. If we resist it through ignorance on this world, the first message is the message to Ephesus, its principle. And you have on the study material, blue, page 3, a short summary which you can follow. I just try to expand a little bit on those messages. Here we have the message of principle. Principle translating itself. And you can see it very quickly what is that the principle is involved. Because the text says, "He who holdeth the seven stars in his right hand." Can you see again, we had in the chapter 1, we had at the point of principle that he has in his right hand the seven stars. So here now in the elaboration of it, you have the same symbol again in order to bring out principle. Can you see, this as a side mark, can you see that those people at that time who were familiar with the symbolism, and they are familiar with that symbolism through the Old Testament, that they had no difficulty in deciphering the Revelation. That for them it was plain speaking. Whereas for us it's no more plain speaking, because we in the West have lost that key to the symbolism of that day. Even the Jews, I think, may have lost that key, and therefore it seems difficult. And it could only really decode again those symbolism by going right through the whole Old Testament and step by step finding out how these symbols were used. So that was a side remark. So, here he shows principle. Namely, he who holdeth the seven stars in his right hand was the spiritual power of principle, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Always, when the Bible brings out that he walked in the midst, it was always principle, because principle is that which stands in the midst of the 7 days, a seven synonymous term. You have those two wings of understanding, mind, spirit, soul, and the second wing of demonstration, life, truth, and love. And in the midst is always principle. He says, I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and that thou hast not fainted. But I have something against thee. Now we must get something that is not of the nature of principle. What is within us? We are now Ephesus. What is within our consciousness that goes against Ephesus? He says that thou hast left thy first love. What is our first love? Our first love must be today science. That we have left science. That we have dropped back to religion. That we still try to get hold of Christian science through a religious sense. And through a religious method, through a religious practice. And therefore he said, come back and don't lose your first love. But he says, to him that overcometh, he who keeps that first love, who really puts science in the middle of his life, foremost and only, he says, to him will I give the tree of life. Because principle always is that which is fundamental for life. Without principle, we never have a true sense of life. Which is in the midst of the paradise of God, in the midst of harmony. You can see harmony for principle. Huh? So he that goes along with science will always have the demonstration of the tree of life, namely of harmony.